Today on Anthrodish, I am interviewing Dino Tinipe. Dino's a good friend of mine, and we met working at a vegan restaurant in Toronto. Today we sit down and we talk about the art of dining solo, particularly in Toronto. And we kind of dig into, you know, what is a good atmosphere for dining solo versus what might not be a great one. And what sorts of social perceptions exist about dining solo. It's a really interesting episode, and Dino's someone who knows a lot about Toronto in terms of the food industry, and he's kind of my go-to whenever I want to explore a new place in the city. He knows exactly what to recommend. So it's a really fun conversation, and I hope you enjoy as much as I did. I said that in a really creepy way. Anyways, here's my interview with Dino. So today on Anthrodish, I am interviewing Dino Tinipe, and we are talking about dining solo and just other Dinoisms of life. I don't know. So welcome to the show, Dino. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. All right, so let's just jump straight into it. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what your story is?
All right, so I am 25 years old, currently a server, but I was a fashion school dropout. I was born in the Philippines, had a brief stint in LA, and now I am living in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. Raised by a single mom of four children.
Wow.
And I am an Aries sun and a Pisces moon.
I have no idea what that means.
That's fine. We can look it up.
Sweet. Cool. So how was it growing up with four siblings and a single mom? Because that must be pretty tough for her.
Well, she only really raised us after I was around like 10.
Okay.
That's when she was really on her own. But basically when I was growing up in the Philippines, it was very normal to have maids and maids. And we just so happened to have one for each child in the family.
Wow.
So we were kind of all raised separately, but then not really.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, because I still have that part of the family where I am the youngest, but we were all kind of raised differently.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I guess to connect it to food. Oh my God. So basically to connect it to food, I was kind of just allowed to eat whatever I wanted because, I mean, I was raised by someone who wasn't my mom and only wanted to take care of me and kind of like spoil me, I guess. And then when my mom finally got to us when she wasn't busy, it was like, oh my God, I missed out on like having fun with you. So I'm also going to like let you eat whatever you wanted.
So double spoiling.
So literally, and then also triple spoiling because the youngest child, I am the cute one. True. So I had to get whatever I wanted.
Nice. So lots of great food.
Great. Lots of great food. Nice. So yeah. And then growing up, I guess we didn't really eat out very much because if you have one child or two children, it's fine to take everyone out for a nice dinner once in a while. But then if you have six people in your family.
Chaos.
Just so much money.
Yeah.
Four children, when they're all young, they're kind of just like all over the place. So you don't want to really do that.
Yeah.
And I did most of my dining. I mean, I eat out mostly these days, and I've started this habit of dining out when I had my own job, basically as an adult.
So it was like once you're finally kind of free of that family dynamic,
totally.
You started to experiment with that?
Yes.
Cool. Totally. Okay. So that brings me to my next question. So what were some of the major influences that shaped your interest in food growing up or in your 20s?
So, again, I was super spoiled when I was growing up in terms of, like, food, I guess. So, I never had the taste for vegetables or anything like that, which is crazy because I work at a vegan restaurant.
Yes.
And I do hate vegetables still. But the difference between before and now is that I now eat the vegetables, but I still hate it.
So it's more of a nutritional
fueling? Yes, totally. So that's made me a little bit more conscious of how I'm eating. growing up, I also watched a lot of Food Network. That's always been super, super interesting to me as a child before satellite was a thing. And they removed Food Network from satellite, which is insane to me.
Really?
Normal cable has Food Network.
Yeah.
But satellite TV doesn't.
Interesting.
And I don't know why.
That's such a staple in a household.
I know. Yeah. It's ridiculous. But I watch a lot of like Iron Chef America and just normal Iron Chef growing up. So that had a lot of influence on me and my interest. It kind of developed my interest in the food industry. And also just a lot of shows that I watched growing up, like anime. Like, if you ever watch anime and they show food on it, it always looks so good. And you're like, I'm never going to be able to eat that. But
the dream.
You eat with your eyes first. True. So
I remember Sailor Moon, there was always those desserts that were like rice desserts. And they looked beautiful.
Yeah. Every time. They always make it so it's like glowing.
Yeah.
Or like sparkly. And it just looks like it's shiny. I don't know. It just tastes really good. So those are my influences.
Cool. Okay.
Yes.
So you mentioned in there that you became more conscious of food. Was it because of working at a vegan restaurant, or was there like another moment that kind of really shaped or like kind of kicked you into being more conscious about what you're eating?
I think I'm pretty indulgent. I'm an indulgent eater. So I kind of just eat whatever I want. But now that I've worked in the vegan food business, I know a lot more things about vegetables and how things are grown. Up until recently, I didn't really care that much about organic food, and I don't care about it when I'm eating it myself.
Right.
But I now know that there's just some things that you should get organic, like vegetables that take longer to grow. They're at more risk of having like bad things in them. So those are the ones that you should be getting organic. Yeah, totally. So there's just some things that I am now a lot more conscious about. And I just think about when I'm buying food.
Okay. That's cool. Sweet.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't have that experience. We worked at the same vegan restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, just now, like I do like to talk to the customers.
That's true.
A lot, because I'm more in the food industry because I'm interested in people, not because of the food that I'm serving. Like I hate vegetables. So I'm more into the customer service side of it than the actual food side.
That's true. You always came back with like the coolest stories about people at the restaurant that like no one else would have any idea.
Never going to meet these people outside of this situation. So I want to know what these people are up to. And they're going to know what I'm up to also, because I'm just an oversharer.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about dining alone. So you kind of mentioned how that started a little bit more in your 20s.
Yes.
So the New York Times recently came out with a piece about dining alone in Paris. And they were looking at, they called it the art of dining solo. So they were looking at how different countries perceived eating alone. And kind of how this was differing between like France and the United States and Canada. So what made you start dining by yourself? You kind of touched on that a little bit, but was there other factors that kind of influenced your desire to dine out by yourself?
So again, I didn't start eating out as much as I do until I was in my 20s, when I was raised by my mom so that I could provide for myself, and I wasn't allowed to have very like luxurious things unless I could afford it myself.
Nice.
So then when I was able to eat out all the time, that's what I did.
Yeah, fair.
And my friends who were all, when I started eating out a lot, my friends were in school, or most of them were in school, so they didn't really have time to eat out as much as I did.
Okay.
So then I started going to these restaurants that I wanted to try myself.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, so I don't know. It was always such a social thing for me because I don't know.
Interesting. It's just like, it's so cool to me because you are such a social person and like so naturally, I was going to say chatty, but that's like not.
Yeah.
You're just like very easy to talk to. And especially for like restaurant patrons coming in, you are good at that. So it's interesting that you've kind of gone and done a 180, and instead of making it a social gathering for yourself, you kind of created Yes.
Well, also when I moved downtown a few years ago, I now live at home again. So the food atmosphere in Mississauga, I guess, is very different than living in downtown Toronto. But when I was living downtown, I had to start making ends meet. Mm-hmm. So I was working a lot of hours at work. Like there was one point where I was working 60 hours a week, different jobs and stuff. And basically, so when I was working a lot, I never had time to do the groceries, let alone even cook the mm-hmm. groceries that I was buying. So I had to start eating out a lot on my own, and I couldn't just like fit in dinner plans with friends because I was always out all the time.
Yeah.
So that made me have to eat out on my own.
True.
All okay. the time.
I feel like that's very like within Toronto. I mean, maybe you can speak to that a little bit as well, but I feel like it's very common because we're all somehow so busy all the time and yeah. our schedules are insane in the city that it does make sense that you do have to like figure out food without always going grocery shopping.
Right. It's very enjoyable for me to eat out with my friends because mm-hmm. it has always been a social thing. When I was growing up, I literally had someone ring the bell when the food was ready so that everyone in the house could go to the dinner table and we would all eat at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like in North America, that also is a thing, especially for families with younger children. Mm-hmm. The mom and dad get home, or the parents get home, whoever it is. And then everyone eats all at the same time. They all catch up. So it has always been a social thing for me, but yeah. because I'm now so used to having to eat out on my own, I just eat out on my own.
Fair.
And it's still yeah. fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially in Toronto. It's a fun city to do that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So, I mean, you've been to a lot of different restaurants in Toronto. I feel yeah. like you're my go-to whenever I need to okay. like find new places. So thinking about when you're dining by yourself in Toronto, mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk about how, if at all, it differs between breakfast, lunch, and dinner in terms of experiences?
Definitely think that there's a different experience when you're dining alone for each different meal.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that the idea behind having the three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, is kind of an outdated concept because people True. Are now, I mean, I guess you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner if you work 9 to 5 every day.
I wonder though, because I don't like, as a 9 to 5-ish person,
mm-hmm.
I never, like, I don't have time for breakfast.
Yeah, totally. You
know? Yeah.
So I almost never eat out for breakfast because I don't have time to do that.
That's a good point.
Because I get home late and I work 4 to 11 usually. So when is my dinner?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make sense for me. So in terms of dining alone, I don't really dine on my own for breakfast unless I'm on vacation.
True.
Because I want to get up early and try the different foods that are only available in the morning. But it never really happens for me. For lunch, I think it's a much faster pace in restaurants because, again, 9-to-5ers, they are the ones who are congregating at these restaurants.
Yes.
And they all come in at the same time and they all get out at the same time and everyone
Expects quick service. Yeah.
So I think servers are more used to that. And dining alone during lunch versus dinner, it's not as social because you mm-hmm. there is a time limit for you to be there. Like, you have to be back at work at some point. So you don't want to be with people because it's just going to make the eating process that much longer. For dinner, I think it's a little bit more awkward to eat out on your own because usually that is when social gatherings are happening. People are eating to catch up with their friends. So when you are on your own at a bar or at a restaurant, you end up usually just sitting in front of the bartender or mm-hmm. just in an enclosed space where there's like people also dining on their own.
Right.
So that's, I guess, how different.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes a lot of sense. So, okay, how about brunch? Do you ever eat brunch by yourself in Toronto?
No.
Why not?
Because brunch is, I think brunch is very much a social thing. That's the whole purpose of the brunch.
Yeah.
It's very like, I don't know, I think it is made for the 9-to-5-er.
Yeah, like on their weekends?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Because that's usually when places have their brunch menu, and that just reflects with who is eating brunch.
Mm-hmm.
Most restaurants do not offer brunch on the weekday because they know no one's going to come, because people who aren't working on the weekdays probably aren't even awake for brunch.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Again, the 9-to-5 concept is just, I think it's outdated, but maybe I'm just saying that because I don't have the 9-to-5.
No, I mean, it's a weird, as someone who's been 9-to-5 and not 9-to-5, or like some days I am, some days I'm not. Yes. It's very bizarre to me because it's just, like I'm so used to having a natural day where you just like wake up and make your own breakfast and then like have lunch whenever you want. Right. And then like sometimes I used to serve at night. So you'd eat like after your shift or whatever.
Right.
And having 9-to-5, it just like becomes this almost like school child sort of meal planning almost.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's very bizarre. It doesn't feel like the natural times that you would eat your food at.
Right. And also, I think now that I'm more conscious with how I'm eating, I think it's unhealthy to eat food later on in the day, like past, like if you're going to sleep at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or whatever time it is, if you're eating 2 hours before that, you're not going to burn the food that you ate. Mm-hmm. So in a way, I do like the fact that I have to eat all the food that I have to eat earlier on the day, so I have more time to burn the energy, or else it kind of just turns into unnecessary fat.
Fair. It's also interesting, like when we were talking about the 9-to-5ers and the brunch, Toronto is such a brunch city.
Oh my God. It is ridiculous. So
let's talk about that a little bit. Because I was just like, as you're saying that, I realized there are so many people that, you know, line up for brunches in Toronto.
Absolutely. You will not catch me at the lineup in front of Saving Grace at any time. Monday to Sunday, I will not be there. You will not see me because I do not line up. Toronto not only likes lining up for brunch, Toronto likes lining up for things in general. Yes. I think it's like a hobby now for people. They like love it. Whenever we get the chance to line up, they do it.
Yeah, it's a fad.
Totally. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. But I will never be lining up for food because I know there are other options.
Yes.
Make it at home if you have to.
Oh my gosh, I know. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Irving Goffman, who's like a sociologist, he had a quote about dining solo, and he said it was very apparent that you were being a single and not a with. So you weren't, it was very apparent that you were isolated in that process.
Yes.
Do you think that there's still stigma about that now, or do you feel like that's kind of, there's been a shift, particularly in Toronto?
I think it does depend on the meal again. As far as the lunch thing goes, yes, totally. People, it's much more acceptable to eat on your own because realistically, if you are in the office or whatever, I don't know, like you could just be trying to eat a quick meal just so that you and
the sad salad.
The sad salad. You're going to eat your sad salad real quick so you can go right back to work because, I don't know, you want to leave early or, like, there's just too much work to do, blah, blah, blah. But there is totally still a stigma in terms of eating more for dinner because that's usually when people are, I don't know, they're on dates, they're with their friends catching up.
There's mood lighting.
There's the mood lighting, the atmosphere, the ambiance is made so that it is a social gathering. There's never been a restaurant that's been opened where it's been geared towards people who are dining in on their own.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing in Toronto that does.
Somewhere else there is, but I've never heard of it in Toronto.
Restaurant ideas out there for people.
Yeah.
Can line up for that.
You're welcome. I think that it's always just been such a social thing. So when people see you at a restaurant eating on your own, they kind of like look down on you and they're like, oh, I feel bad for that person. I wonder why they're eating on their own.
Mm-hmm.
It's just always been such a social thing since the beginning of time. You'll see it in like our, like the Last Supper had 12 disciples.
Yes, not one.
Yeah, even though that was kind of like still a sad thing, but It was the Last Supper. Like, you're having your Last Supper with your other friends.
Yes.
But if you see an art piece, like, I forget what the name of it is. It's by Degas, and it's a girl literally drinking absinthe on her own. Oh, and she literally just has her hands on her lap, and she looks so unhappy. I'd rather be at the Last Supper than drinking, watching that girl on her own being sad. Yeah. So it has always been looked down upon, and I think there might be a shift, but people still believe that dining out on your own is kind of embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting, like, coming from the service industry perspective, because when I was serving, I never thought twice about someone eating by themselves, but they, like, had so much, you could tell if they were nervous about it, because they would make comments about why they're alone, or, like, justify it. And to me, I was like, I don't care, like, just enjoy your food, be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people don't like sitting, I mean, where Sarah used to work and where I currently work, the bar has, it's kind of elevated, so you see everyone who is on the bar, especially when it's empty, you see that one person on the bar.
It's like a pedestal.
Yeah. So that person is physically isolated.
Yeah.
You literally, it's like almost like you're caged in.
It really is, because it's like an L-shaped cage.
Yeah. So the table is in front of you, and you kind of just you're overseeing the whole restaurant, but everyone can also see you. So in that way, I do think that, I don't know, people who eat out are still somewhat uncomfortable about it. I'm not saying I'm completely comfortable with eating out on my own, but I do enjoy eating out on my own. It's just sometimes it depends on the restaurant for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about that then. Because, so, you know, dining by yourself can become more of an experience than you know, eating a sad salad in between your work shifts.
Yep.
So are there particular atmospheres that you found in your experiences that are more or less conducive to enjoying a meal by yourself? Like, you know, table sizes, or we were talking about eating at a bar, things like that.
Well, yes. So I kind of like eating like at a corner of a restaurant facing everyone else, because I love people watching. I think it's amazing, and it's so interesting to see how people are interacting with each other.
Yes.
And you're kind of just in the corner judging everyone silently, and no one's even paying attention to you, which is amazing. So that's just kind of like a free pass.
So if you see Dino sitting by himself,
I'm judging you.
Yeah.
Not that I wasn't already before that.
But extra.
Yeah, it's just perfect for dining on your own. I like sitting by the bar as well if I feel like talking to the bartender or whatever it is, whoever is serving me. I do think you get a better understanding of how the restaurant works if you're dining out on your own.
Certainly.
And servers are more comfortable to talk to you, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I don't know. I like sitting on the bar. For anyone who doesn't like sitting on the bar, you're missing out.
Yeah, it can be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, fair. Cool. So when you're eating by yourself, one thing I find whenever I am is that I fidget a lot, or I like need things to keep me occupied. So you talked a little bit about like people watching, but what about, how do you feel about phones when you're eating?
Phone always. I mean, unless I'm like out of data and I don't want to be on the internet. I'm just not a person who like reads at a restaurant or
brings a laptop
and, like, I don't know, starts typing away at it or whatever. I just want to be on my phone so I can do something.
Mm-hmm.
It also has something to do with maybe not seeming like I'm a lonely person.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're like literally on your phone to make it look like you're doing something, like you're there for business.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just like sit there and I just stare into the distance.
I love that.
And I just look at people.
I love it.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I feel like when you see people dining alone or even with myself, it's like you're always kind of creating that barrier. Like you have a laptop screen or a book or a phone. Or sometimes even I find like if I have a drink, like an alcoholic beverage, I'm like totally okay to sit by myself.
Oh my God, yes.
But if you don't, then it's like, oh my God, what do I do?
Yeah, it's like the alcoholic beverage definitely makes the person seem more like they go to that restaurant frequently and they know the people that are working there and they don't need to be with someone else. True. So
they're smooth.
They're like, they know what they're doing. They're in and out, or like they're just hanging out. They're on their own. Like, just leave them they alone. It's fine.
Especially it's like alcoholic beverage suit. And just like, God. You know, like that's to me.
I mean, whenever I see the suit, I just get, I don't know what I'm going to get as a server. When I go up to them and I greet them, I never really know what I'm going to get. So
that's true.
Sometimes it's freaky. Sometimes it's a nice surprise.
Yeah. Or a freaky surprise.
Or a surprise nonetheless.
Yes. Sure.
Always a surprise. The phone thing, I think it's like a generational thing, to be honest. Yeah. Because especially if you're eating on your own, you're trying to like do things as you're eating. If you're like the 9-to-5er, we're going to go back to them because they are, I don't know. I just feel like so many things revolve around the 9-to-5er.
Yeah. But so many people, especially in Toronto, aren't 9-to-5ers.
Which is crazy to me that, because most of my friends are not 9-to-5ers.
Yeah.
But so many things are geared towards 9-to-5ers, including how restaurants work.
Mm-hmm. When they open, when they close.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like so many people do freelance. Like the more you talk to people in restaurants.
Totally.
Like there's so many independent contractors and freelance people and like jobs I don't even understand.
See, the freelancers are also, they freak me out as much as the suits do. Because they just never leave the house. They don't know how to interact with people. They don't know how to tip well. Sorry, guys.
Oh, there's some shade there.
It's not their fault. They don't know what's going on. It's not a necessity for people to eat out on their own or eat out at all.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know how things work because you weren't socialized, then...
Interesting.
I don't know. You just miss out. So they scare me as much as the suits do.
Fair. I find I always just like, I stumble a lot on my words when I'm with a freelancer because it's just like, I'm already a socially awkward person.
Okay.
And then they're a little bit awkward talking because they're not used to it. So it's just like, you know, just the worst.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I never know how to read them.
True, yeah.
Because I don't know if they're enjoying the service. In my opinion, part of being a good service is kind of being able to read people. If that person wants to talk to you, then you should talk to them. But if they want to they want their server to drop their food onto the table and allow them to eat in peace and talk to their friends or whoever they're dining with.
You read the room.
Yeah, read the room.
Or read the table.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
So if you don't know how to do that, sorry, you're probably not that good of a server.
Judgments by Dino.
I'm starting my own podcast, actually. Just kidding.
I feel like it'd be like Judgments by Dino by horoscope. That would be your podcast.
I would do a judgment of each person, but not say who it is. So then it kind of makes a sense of like, is he talking about me?
There's always that risk.
But if you're guilty about it, then maybe I am talking about you.
All right. So we're going to switch gears a little bit. So you tend to travel a fair bit.
Yes.
So let's talk about when you're traveling to other major cities. Mm-hmm. Do you still eat by yourself when you're traveling to places like New York or Montreal, or are you more likely to be social?
If I travel on my own, I want to say that I eat alone frequently, but there's something a little bit intimidating about eating out on your own in a different city because you don't know what it's like. So that's why if I travel to a city that I know well, let's say New York or Montreal, and I know the restaurant that I'm going to, then yes, I will be comfortable eating out on my own in that specific place.
Okay.
But if I'm exploring a city and I don't know a restaurant very well and I don't know what it's like, I don't know the people that are there, then I feel a little bit less comfortable dining on my own.
Okay. Fair. Yes. That's interesting because I'm like the total opposite. Yeah. Like I remember, I was up in Yellowknife a few years ago and I didn't know anyone and like I was by myself for a few days. So I just went to a bunch of restaurants and was like totally just happy to people watch, especially in Yellowknife. There's some interesting people out there.
Well, on the other hand, it's like how you said, if you are in a different city and you do feel uncomfortable because people are maybe judging you for dining on your own, you're never going to have to see any of those people ever again.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
You're never going to run into them.
No. Or you can like ask them things to do. And like chances are those people know what's up more than.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like. Hotel
Yeah.
People, you know?
I would never ask my Airbnb host or my, like, hotel concierge for a restaurant recommendation just because I don't think they give out the best. Like, they think they know the people that are staying with them.
Right.
So,
9-to-5ers.
But I don't, I usually don't take the recommendation.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, it's always very general, the, yeah, you know, recommendations it's that, like, they give.
Family friendly.
Or, like, just boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, here's a, I'm trying to think of a restaurant, like a Joey's, you know, or something. Oh my, like, God. You know, a city's own specific version of Joey's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with the most basic. Like, no. I love Jack Astor's.
Yes. Dino is very passionate about his love for Jack Astor's.
That is one of my top five restaurants for sure. Top three, maybe even. And I just feel like there's, people are really into what's cool.
Yeah.
For, like, the general public who are not fully in touch with what's going on in the city, when they do find out about a cool restaurant, that is their way of, like, showing social status.
True.
So I just feel like people love eating out at cool restaurants. There is nothing wrong with eating at your basic restaurant.
No, sometimes you just need a good nacho.
Sometimes you just need the sauced up chicken fingers and your beer jacked up.
Do you get dessert when you're dining out or not? Is it, like, a crucial part of the dining experience for you?
No, it really? Is not. And I have a sweet tooth, mm-hmm. like, really bad. So, as far as desserts go, if they're not making it in-house, I don't see the point in having a dessert.
Fair. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
You don't want a frozen, heated up dessert.
Yeah, like, I don't care that much for a restaurant's desserts where they don't make it in-house. Even if you do, when it's just sitting in the freezer for, like, however long it's been sitting there, mm-hmm. at least someone made it in the restaurant, and it's very specific for that restaurant.
True.
But if you're just going to throw a brownie on a plate out of a little bag.
The hot lava cakes.
Oh, yeah, the lava cakes. I had to stop myself from the lava cakes from Domino's because they're just so good.
Dino.
They're so good. And they literally are probably frozen and they throw them in the oven. But someone had to throw it into the oven that same day. So I would consider that fine to eat. A fresh dessert. Yeah, I love if a restaurant has a really good dessert menu and it's very unique, but not pretentious.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
I don't know.
What are some
I just
pretentious
feel like,
desserts?
I think trying to be really super hip and super different and super cool with no background to your menu.
Oh, there was this one restaurant I went to in Toronto that was like, I'm not going to name it, but it was a plate and it had raspberry sauce kind of like thrown mm-hmm. on it and some icing sugar. And then there was like literally a dollop of chocolate sauce and that was it.
So what? I want to know what they called it. Do you remember?
No, my friend ordered it for us because he's like very into like each element of the dining experience. Okay. So we got the dessert.
Totally.
And it was like $12 for a dollop of smeared chocolate on the plate. Yeah, that's what it was.
Of mousse.
It wasn't mousse. It was just like someone melted a chocolate bar and put it on a plate.
Oh, okay.
Just kidding. It was great.
Yeah.
But it was like.
It doesn't really matter for me if it's going to be like an inexpensive or expensive thing. I mean, like, if I'm feeling not very rich at the moment, I will not get dessert.
Fair.
Especially if I've had a alcoholic beverage on top of that.
Yes. Oh, yes. Dino's rules for dining.
Yeah. I just, if you've already had the alcoholic beverage, maybe think about the dessert.
Yeah.
There's just some places where I can't skip the dessert.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place that I go to downtown that has, miso flavored ice cream.
Oh, that's yes.
And it comes out and it looks like butter and it has puffed, I think it might be quinoa sprinkled all over it with pieces of nori as well. And it's just, I cannot not get it. It's just, I know I can't get that anywhere else. It's just so good.
And it's like art at that point. Like, it's
It's just amazing.
That's
if I'm more likely to do dessert if I'm on vacation.
Fair. Yeah.
If I'm already luxuriating.
Yes. Yeah, why not then at that point?
You just get the dessert.
Yes.
Get something.
And the beverage.
Yeah, I want to get both.
Yeah.
Get two beverages. Just kidding.
Sure. Are you?
Yes.
Okay. okay, so just to wrap up everything, Let's talk about the weirdest food you've ever had.
See, this, I don't know if I would consider myself an adventurous eater.
Really?
Yeah.
Says the person that eats miso gravy ice cream.
Okay, that just, yeah. I mean, it's not miso gravy.
Sorry, oh my gosh.
Just miso.
Wow. Signs that you work at a vegan restaurant.
Oh god.
Whoops.
Scary. Yeah, so, I don't know, like, I feel like in some ways I am adventurous, but in some ways I'm not adventurous.
Okay.
Because once I find the one thing on the menu that I'd like, I always get the same thing.
Mm, okay.
I'm just a creature of comfort, so I always just go back to the things that I know and like, and I will like again and again and again. I would probably say that the weirdest thing I've ever had was balut in the Philippines. And basically it's like a chick, it's like an egg, the chick is in the egg, it's like almost fully there, but then it's obviously cooked. And I didn't eat it. It's like a delicacy in the Philippines. I tried like the liquid that was inside it and I liked it.
Okay.
But I know like eating animals is a bad thing for people, but eating something that was not, it was alive, but it wasn't even born.
Yeah.
Something freaky about that.
The visual too of that. And just like,
oh my God.
Yeah, not to get all ethical about it, but yeah, it's like a very...
Like the color of it is just not cute.
Yeah, ugh.
It's just not good. But I do like, I mean, that was as adventurous as it gets.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
but it tasted, like you like the taste of it?
Yeah.
Like the liquid in it?
I don't know. I like the liquid that I had.
Okay, cool. Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be a difficult one to...
Oh, actually, I could think of something that was a little bit weirder.
Ooh.
There was a restaurant in New York that I tried when I was, like, super new to traveling. It's now closed, and it's a French restaurant where it's ran by culinary students.
Oh, cool.
So yeah. The price was definitely affordable, and you get, like, a full 5-course meal, and the amuse-bouche was a deconstructed BLT. It comes out, and it's in a spoon. And
like a giant spoon?
No, it's, like, tiny.
Oh, okay.
And it's a puree. And then when you put it in your mouth, all the flavors, the tomato, the lettuce, the mustard, like, whatever it is in the BLT, you can taste each ingredient separately.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's very Willy Wonka to me.
Oh, my God. It was unreal.
Huh.
Like, 18-year-old me is literally like, oh, my God, this is fine dining. Like,
yes.
This is, like, I've made it to the top. Like, this is, like, a 5-star restaurant. No one on Yelp has ever written a bad review about this place. Like, this place is amazing. It is now closed.
Oh, that's such a shame. That sounds really cool, though.
Yeah, everything that they've ever had on the menu has been delicious to me. Unfortunately, it is now closed. I don't know why. It closed down a few years ago. But yeah, that was pretty out there.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah,
definitely. Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Anther Dish today, Dino.
My pleasure.
That was my good friend Dino Tinipe on the art of dining solo and some tips and tricks about dining in Toronto. After we concluded the episode, we kept talking about food and he remembered an anime show called Food Wars that he highly recommended. So I've included the trailer in the show notes and on my blog at anthrodish.com. Go check it out. And if you like the trailer, then go find the show. I'm not going to tell you how to do it because I'm not going to say anything illegal. But yeah, go find it. If you want to stick around, I've also included a bonus segment after my outro where Dino highlights some of the best places to go in different neighborhoods in Toronto. We thought that might be a little bit too niche for some listeners, so... if you're not ever going to go to Toronto, then don't listen. But if you want to find some cool places the next time you're in town, or if you are a Torontonian and you want to check out something new, then please keep listening. Cause Dino's got some amazing suggestions. I've already been to a few since the episode has aired and he is spot on as always. Thank you again so much for tuning into Anthro Dish. If you love what you're hearing, please subscribe, rate, and review on whatever platform you're using. And check us out on our website, anthrodish.com, or on social media platforms at anthrodish. Thank you again, and we'll see you next week, or stay tuned and listen to Dino's tips about Toronto. So let's talk about, you know, people visiting Toronto.
Yes.
Do you have any advice or tricks for people that are visiting Toronto that want like really cool food experiences? Or like, what do you do to stay in the loop in terms of Toronto food scenes?
I think social media is really good at showing people the cool stuff in Toronto, or like what is good. I guess cool doesn't necessarily mean good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about that too.
Yeah. There's just so many things that people in Toronto line up for because they think it's going to be like one of the coolest, hippest, never seen before. And then it turns out it's not that good. And you just lined up for what reason? I don't know.
A bathroom. A cool bathroom.
Yeah. So I'm okay with that. Like, I don't want to line up for anything because I know it's probably not going to be worth the lineup. But look on social media. Explore the city. Get out of the cool part of the city.
Get out of the cool part of the city?
Yes.
What do you mean? Break that down. Like,
don't go to the part where everyone's telling you to go. Because usually the restaurants that are in that part of the city are going to be the ones that are more expensive, mm-hmm. not worth the money. I don't know. They're usually like the restaurants that are, again, they're the very general ones that your Airbnb host or your hotel concierge would recommend to you because they think that most people would like that place.
Yeah. I feel like the business center, like the business district downtown is like constantly the recommendation.
Yeah.
You know, or like where people go from out of town.
Right. Those are, I would say, the restaurants that are tried and true and someone's taken a little bit of a spin on it mm-hmm. to make it a little bit different, but it's still very safe.
Yeah.
So I don't think those are the restaurants that I would recommend to someone visiting the city. I think the city is full of culture. There's a lot of different people. I would say try to have a good balance between expensive food and inexpensive food.
Yeah, because it's so doable. If you know
absolutely
where to go, you can have a really fantastic dining experience here.
Like $10 in the city will take you further than you probably thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a full, I don't know,
roti.
Roti's pretty good. Yeah. Shawarma.
Yeah.
Jamaican patties.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I would say definitely explore the city. Ask people that you trust. In your city. Ask people that you trust in your own city before you explore another city. Someone who's been to Toronto. Yeah. Ask someone.
That's a good
one. Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. What sorts of areas in Toronto do you think are like the coolest or most up and coming for food?
I think one of the places that people always forget about is Baldwin Village.
I don't even know where that is.
Baldwin Village is north of Dundas on like McCall. There's a Canton Ramen there.
Oh yeah, that place is great. There's a really cool Mexican place there too.
Yeah, there's a really good Mexican place in that area. I didn't think it would be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is kind of just going against what I just said about going somewhere where it's not like very touristy, but it is quite a tourist destination because the AGO is nearby.
Yes, but it's kind of tucked away. Like,
it's
not
assuming. Definitely tucked away. It's a small little strip of stores and restaurants. So I would say maybe try Baldwin Village. Chinatown is always good. Always. Every time I visit a different city, I try to see what their Chinatown is like.
Because they're always so different.
They're always so different. There's multiple in Toronto, so try all mm-hmm. of them. I would say go east of Yonge.
What?
Yeah, go east of Yonge. The east of Yonge to me is like a completely different country. It's a completely different city.
Yeah.
So there's always restaurants there that because it's a lot more residential, I would say, in that area, and there's not much going on.
Mm-hmm.
Restaurants want to go to those areas because they are probably cheaper to run a business in that area.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And people, if your restaurant is good, people will do the trek.
Exactly.
And also the cool factor of not having many things around you and being like the one guy on like a block of a street that no one goes to. It's like, oh, this is a destination. This is very cool.
That's true.
Capitalize on that.
Yeah.
Go east of Yonge.
there's a place down by where I live, and it's like this cafe. Like, there's nothing in Mimico, which is where I live. And like when I first moved here, nothing.
Yep.
But there's this cafe that's like doing its own thing. It works with it, like, I can't remember how it does. Basically, it, like, they grow their own coffee beans down in Guatemala. It's all like bird friendly.
What is it called? Are we allowed to say?
Yeah, Birds and Beans. Don't go there because I love it and I don't want people to go there.
Okay.
But like, they're just doing really cool work there. Everything's like really organic and it's just like a very simple organization.
Right.
But because there's no competition around, like, it's already fantastic.
Right.
But there's nothing else. So it's just like this beautiful little gem in Mexico. So if you're ever out this way, that's where I'd recommend going.
In Etobicoke.
Yeah. Best coffee ever.
I mean, Lakeshore, all the way down from this part of the GTA to the other end is just bustling.
Yeah. It's popping. There's so many people out this way. You don't even...
Port Credit in Mississauga is just full of people. Yes. So, and those people want to eat.
That's true. They got to come out this way.
Exactly.
Just kidding.
I would say going... I think Roncesville is a good area as well, but because it is a more residential area in the city, things tend to close earlier.
It's very family
in that
friendly there.
Area. I think going super east or super west, High Park.
Yeah, that's true.
Why don't people eat at High Park?
It's just such a, you just don't think about it.
It's just out of the way for people, I guess.
Yeah.
It's about what, like 9 or 10 stops away from St. George Station. So it's not the closest to get to, and it does, there's not much besides the park in that area.
That's true.
But I think that it's worth exploring.
I have like the saddest story from that area though. Oh my god. As soon as so my car broke down in the middle of winter, and it was like during the ice storm this past winter.
Yes.
And like wouldn't start. It was at, it was parked at, it was like right at High Park and like, I don't know, like literally right there,
like Bloor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe more west. It was like, yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter. So it's parked there. I was waiting for a tow truck and they were like, oh, like we'll be there in an hour. And I was like, okay, great. It's freezing. It's icy. I'm hungry. It was
what,
like,
what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. It was 10:45 and I went to a pub because that was the only place around.
Okay.
Just waited for 11 to hit.
Okay.
Ordered myself like the saddest, soggiest fries and a beer and just like drowned my sorrows there. So whenever I think of High Park food, that's what I think of. But I'm sure there's some cool stuff around there.
I think there is, even if you go further west. I'm only saying this because I had a brief stint near Jane Station for like a month.
Oh, I didn't know.
A few years ago, I had like a weird roommate incident where we ended up getting kicked out of our apartment and I had to live on my friend's couch in between Jane and Old Station.
Interesting.
For a month.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So that made me go into that area more. It's such a beautiful area. Like, right on Bloor, there's so much going on. Really good flower shops.
Yes.
Really nice cafes. It's very quiet. You don't have to feel like you're going to run into someone that you know.
That is true.
So you can explore without that worry.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I totally think that that area could potentially be a good place for a business to set up because there's also other restaurants already there that are worth exploring.
Cool. Yeah. So it's like a nice little community. That's totally. A good. Yeah. And Toronto's like not always as busy and scary as people think. Like there are some really quiet, cool pockets that you can.
Totally. Oh, another place. I'm just going to throw this in there. Yeah. St. Clair.
Oh, I've never really been out that way.
Like, St. Clair, the Stockyards. That's, fair. I mean, there's like good food in that area besides the restaurant called the Stockyards. There's really good ice cream places on St. Clair. I think some good Italian places as well.
Okay.
I can't say that I've explored it very much, but I know that a lot of my friends do like going to that area because it is quieter than downtown, but there's still a streetcar operating.
That's crucial.
Yeah. Of course. So go to St. Clair.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. That's a good tip.
Yeah.